Hello there, and welcome to Entertainment Weekly. I'm volunteer reader Diane Salisbury on Sun Sounds of Arizona, and every week I read from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com. This week, Devil Wears Prada 2 comes out as I'm recording this, and there's quite a few articles about it. I won't read them all. I did promise an article that is a list of time travel movies. I promised that last week, and I have it all queued up and ready to go for this week. Interesting stuff. I do love time travel movies. So let's get started with our must list first. The Devil Wears Prada 2 and new albums from Kacey Musgraves and Noah Kahan top this week's must list. Mile End Kicks and Fallen Angels round out our picks for the weekend. This is by Tiffany Kelly. I often lament the reliance on existing IP and lack of new ideas, but then you get a weekend like this, where we have blanket coverage of The Devil Wears Prada 2 and launch Entertainment Weekly's summer movie preview with a cover story on Toy Story 5. And, you know, the argument falls apart. That's Patrick Gomez, editor-in-chief. And I have the Toy Story 5 article ready for next week, so stay tuned for that. The Devil Wears Prada 2 is first on the list. Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep's red-hot return for The Devil Wears Prada sequel is hell on wheels in the best way possible. What could have amounted to little more than a fan service nod to nostalgia is instead a timely commentary with a main course of haute couture. A bold, eye-opening probe into the current state of media, The Devil Wears Prada 2 in theaters proves that the flame is still burning bright for all involved. Kacey Musgraves' Middle of Nowhere is next. Her 2024 album, Deeper Well, was a lush, soft rock album designed for easy listening and lounging. But Musgraves's follow-up will make you want to get on your feet and line dance as she sings about loneliness, heartache, and her native Texas. Noah Kahan's The Great Divide. Spring may be in the air, but Noah Kahan has perfectly captured the ever-changing winds of autumn on his fourth studio album. The Vermont singer-songwriter digs into his mental health and small-town sensibilities with unflinching honesty and twinkling mandolin riffs. Mile End Kicks is number four on the list. Whether you experienced the indie sleaze era or just admire the time when people wore American Apparel hoodies and drank PBR, Chandler Levesque's rom-com in select theaters is instantly familiar. Barbie Ferreira charms as a music critic who moves to Montreal and becomes enamored with an up-and-coming band. And number five on our list, Fallen Angels. Rose Byrne gives Broadway's funniest performance of the year alongside savvy scene partner Kelly O'Hara in this hilarious Noel Coward revival about two London ladies anticipating the arrival of a former flame. The star's madcap antics make for a truly hair-raising, literally, adventure. That's our must list this week, The Devil Wears Prada 2 and new albums from Kacey Musgraves and Noah Kahan top this week's list, and it was by Tiffany Kelly. I do have a couple Devil Wears Prada 2 articles. The first is what critics are saying about The Devil Wears Prada 2. Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep reunite for the nostalgia-fueled comedy. This is by Derek Lawrence. The Devil Wears Prada 2 is primed to dominate the box office, but is it any good? In 2006, The Devil Wears Prada charmed audiences and critics between nabbing $327 million at the global box office and a 75% score on Rotten Tomatoes. 20 years later, Anne Hathaway and Meryl Streep, Stanley Tucci and Emily Blunt have reunited for the highly anticipated sequel, which finds their characters trying to navigate the new, depressing media landscape. Ahead of the release, the reviews from critics have arrived for director David Frankel's fashion comedy, So here's your guide to the good, the bad, and the stylish of the Devil Wears Prada 2. The good. The two major common positives when it comes to the reviews are the cast and the film's breezy nostalgia. IndieWire's Kate Erbland declared, "Thank God for Tucci's divinely calm and in-control Nigel," and called Blunt, the franchise's forever MVP, as absolutely batshit and too often right Emily. Meanwhile, in USA Today, Brian Truitt called out the warm chemistry between Hathaway and Tucci, but praised the relationship between Blunt's Emily and Hathaway's Andy as the real throwback that works best. He continued, "There's bonding, butting heads, and everything in between as the movie works to develop Blunt's character a little bit more, and it makes up for the stuff that doesn't work." Truitt also added that, to his surprise, Prada 2 is a thoughtful examination of modern journalism. He described the movie as honest and clear-eyed as it digs into a media world where story clicks increasingly matter more than quality. The Devil Wears Prada has become one of the most rewatchable films of the 21st century, and for diehard fans who just want to return to a world that they fell in love with, many critics believe you'll be thrilled. The Hollywood Reporter's David Rooney wrote, "If you go into The Devil Wears Prada 2 looking for fierce fashion porn, bitchy put-downs, and a fresh dose of Meryl Streep's iconic performance as imperious Anna Wintour clone Miranda Priestly, you are unlikely to be disappointed." He added that fans will eat up the sequel's familiar beats, and that the movie is best when it sticks to fluffy, fun nostalgia. The bad. To be fair to Rooney's THR review, after he said that Prada 2 is best when it sticks to fluffy, fun nostalgia, he concluded the sentence with, "rather than shooting for substance." And that last point is the shared negative consensus in the early reactions. Variety's Guy Lodge wrote, "It is, by almost any metric, a lesser movie, narratively, emotionally, and cinematically flatter, buoyed by game performances that nonetheless steadfastly fail to surprise." He added that the film functions less as a follow-up than as a kind of tribute act. Over at IndieWire, Erbland contended that the original film's punch and pop is missing this time around, bespoke comedy replaced here with strictly off-the-rack endeavors. The Wrap's William Bibbiani's low bar for any sequel is that it just has to justify its own existence, and Prada 2 doesn't clear it. The Devil Wears Prada 2 doesn't have a coherent theme, so its vibes have nothing to stick to, he wrote. It never makes the convincing argument for its own existence other than saying the journalism business stinks right now and that there's no solution that doesn't involve billionaires who are more likely to ruin the industry than save it. Maybe that's true, but it's not much of a movie. At least the gang's all here, and the gang's still charming. But the gang would have been better off doing something else. The Devil Wears Prada 2 is in theaters now. And here's the other article I've got. These four stars were cut from The Devil Wears Prada 2, and here's why. The Devil Wears Prada 2 sees the return of original stars Anne Hathaway, Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci, as well as a whole host of new faces. Not all of them, however, made the final cut. Justin Theroux, Lucy Liu, Simone Ashley, BJ Novak, Patrick Bramall, Caleb Heron, Rachel Bloom, and Kenneth Branagh are among those joining the anticipated sequel, and that's to say nothing of the film's abundance of cameos. Hello, Lady Gaga. While you'll see each of them in the sequel, there are a few notable faces you won't. Here we discuss every star cut from The Devil Wears Prada 2, and the reasons why. Top of the list is Sydney Sweeney. Sydney Sweeney is a hot commodity following the success of last year's The Housemaid, So we were as surprised as anyone to learn that the controversial Euphoria actress was snipped from the final cut of The Devil Wears Prada 2. Speculation about her involvement surfaced in 2025 when Sweeney was spotted on the set of the sequel. But as Entertainment Weekly exclusively reported in April, her scene was cut due to a creative decision. Sweeney played herself in the three-minute scene, which found Emily Blunt's Emily Charlton dressing the actress inside the Dior offices when Andy, Miranda, and Nigel show up seeking Emily's help. As explained to Entertainment Weekly, the scene was only cut for structural reasons, and the creative team was grateful for Sweeney's time. Cutting her, they said, was a difficult decision. Representatives for Disney and Sweeney did not immediately respond to Entertainment Weekly's request for comment. Number two is Conrad Rickamora. Conrad Rickamora, who you may remember as hacker Oliver Hampton on How to Get Away with Murder, was also axed from the sequel. He was cast as Andy's roommate, but according to Variety, the character was cut after audiences at test screenings questioned the point of the character. Rickamora acknowledged as much in an Instagram post, saying that my character didn't make sense in the grand scheme of the film. He followed that with a crack about how he was actually cut for being too sexy and hot and my muscles being too big. The actor harbors no ill feelings. In fact, he called his work on the sequel as one of the best working experiences of my life. Rickamora's post includes several pictures of him on set, as well as a playful video of him and Hathaway. Number three is Anna Wintour. There would be no Devil Wears Prada if not for Anna Wintour, the former Vogue editor-in-chief who now serves as Condé Nast's global chief content officer and artist director. The book on which the original film is based was written by Wintour's former assistant, Lauren Weisberger, and Streep's Miranda is a not-so-subtle riff on the fashion icon. A Wintour cameo in a Devil Wears Prada movie would be almost overbearingly meta, which is ultimately why her scene didn't make it into the final cut. Director David Frankel previously explained to Entertainment Weekly that Wintour did come to the set one day and we did one take with her on camera. Another source confirmed that she was asked to do a cameo, which she happily obliged to, but there was no script. Frankel elaborated, "We actually explicitly didn't want Anna to be in the movie because it's a parallel world. It was like, well, what is Vogue and who is Anna Wintour in a world where there's a runway and Miranda Priestly?" It felt like it was too meta and it would be distracting. Entertainment reached out to representatives for Wintour for comment. And we have Adrian Grenier. Okay, so you can't be cut from a movie if you didn't actually film anything for it, but we still think it's worth highlighting Adrian Grenier's absence. In The Devil Wears Prada, the Entourage star played Nate, Andy's boyfriend, but he's nowhere to be found in the sequel. There were plans for Nate to resurface, Frankel confirmed to Entertainment Weekly, but the timing just didn't work out. I had an idea about sneaking him into a cameo, and in the end, it was just too late in our production schedule to make it happen, he said. Grenier poked fun at him being left out of the sequel in a recent Starbucks ad that also saw him acknowledging Nate's villainous reputation among fans. He made a mean sandwich, loved his girlfriend, to a point, Grenier says in the ad. Okay, so he wasn't perfect, so let's leave Nate in 2006 and keep this good energy going. That is the four stars who were cut from The Devil Wears Prada 2 and why, and it was by Randall Colburn. Here's something about a different movie, Pierce Brosnan undergoes striking transformation as famous boxing trainer in new drama Giant. Rocky star and filmmaker Sylvester Stallone is a producer on the British sports drama. This is by Derek Lawrence. Pierce Brosnan transforms in the new trailer for the boxing drama Giant. Based on a true story, the Sylvester Stallone-produced sports film stars Brosnan as famed Irish trainer Brendan Ingle, and the 72-year-old is almost unrecognizable in the latest look at Giant. The project from writer-director Rowan Atheil tracks the relationship between Ingle and prizefighter Nassim Hamed, played by Amir El-Masseri, whom Ingle helped raise from the streets of Sheffield, England, to become a world champion. The trailer acknowledges the wave of racism that the British Yemeni boxer dealt with during his run to the top of the sport. "They hate you because you're different," Ingle tells a young Hamed. "Embrace it." I think the story of Naz and Brendan teaches us to have courage and belief in yourself, Brosnan told The Independent. With a good heart, good mind, good passion, and good discipline, you can do anything you choose to do. I was lucky to start my life as an actor in community theater in Brixton, South London, and once I found that, I found a home and great strength. I'm hoping Giant will inspire some lads and lasses too. The James Bond actor has been amidst a bit of a renaissance of late, starring in Steven Soderbergh's Black Bag, Christopher Columbus's The Thursday Murder Club, and Guy Ritchie's hit crime series Mobland. Brosnan will return as mobster Conrad Harrigan in season 2 of Mobland, and he'll also be seen in the upcoming Cliffhanger reboot. Just don't ask him who's going to be the next Bond. Giant releases May 22nd in the U.S. That was Pierce Brosnan undergoes striking transformation as famous boxing trainer in new drama Giant, and it was by Derek Lawrence. Also, if you want to watch the trailer that they mention, it is linked in the article here. New rules? Yes, this article says new Oscars rules battle rise of AI to protect actors, writers, plus shocking acting category change. The Academy's latest rule changes rail against the rise of artificial intelligence and undo a decades-long stipulation in the acting categories. This is by Joey Nolfi. The Academy has announced a red-hot roster of new Oscars rules for next year. In a move that a source tells Entertainment Weekly reflects the Academy's dedication to listening to the global filmmaking community, and is in line with its standards that have always evolved alongside technology, the Academy revealed new rules that aim to battle the rise of artificial intelligence in Hollywood. The acting branch is now permitted to nominate only roles credited in the film's legal billing and demonstrably performed by humans with their consent. While the writing branch's rules now stipulate that screenplays must be human-authored to be eligible for nomination for either Best Adapted Screenplay and Best Original Screenplay. On the note of AI, the Academy announced an advisory to all potential contenders. Under Eligibility Rule 2, regarding generative artificial intelligence, the Academy reserves the right to request more information about the nature of the use and human authorship, it states. Another new shocking shift in the acting categories includes the dissolution of the Academy's decades-old rule that prevented the actors from receiving more than one nomination in the same category in a single year. The new rule says actors may now be nominated for multiple performances in the same category if those performances place in the top 5 votes, which aligns with achievements in other award categories. Other changes involve the casting, cinematography, international films, visual effects, and makeup and hairstyling categories. Another notable change comes in the Best Original Song, regarding the eligibility of songs that play during end credits. The rules clarify a song's eligibility when based on its placement in the end credits, an Academy release states. For songs submitted as the first new music cue once the end credits begin, the video clip must include the last 15 seconds of the film before the credits begin. The rule changes come amid other points of evolution for the Academy, as the organization will move its annual Oscars broadcast from its longtime network home of ABC to the YouTube streaming platform beginning with the 101st ceremony in 2029. Both the 99th and the 100th Oscars ceremonies will be broadcast live from the Dolby Theater in Los Angeles, with the 99th telecast airing on Sunday, March 14, 2027, followed by the 100th Academy Awards on Sunday, March 5, 2028. Each ceremony will begin at 7 p.m. Eastern Time and 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Wow, that seems way out there to have such a strong plan. Okay, at the Oscars' most recent ceremony in March, Paul Thomas Anderson's One Battle After Another steamrolled the competition, winning Best Picture, Best Director for the beloved filmmaker. Acting winners included Michael B. Jordan for Sinners, Jesse Buckley for Hamnet, Sean Penn for One Battle After Another, and Amy Madigan for Weapons. That was New Oscars Rules, Battle Rise of AI to Protect Actors, Writers, plus Shocking Acting Category Change. It was by Joey Nolfi. They mentioned Michael B. Jordan, and so here's a quick article about where he keeps his Oscars. Michael B. Jordan reveals where he keeps his Oscar 1 month after winning Best Actor, and it's by Shania Russell. The only thing harder than winning an Oscar is finding out where to keep it. After picking up his first Academy Award for his dual role in Sinners, Michael B. Jordan has joined the legions of actors forced to reckon with that tricky conundrum. Where to store the bald beauty that represents a venerated badge of Hollywood honor? While walking the red carpet at the premiere of Netflix's Swapped on Sunday, Jordan was asked where the statuette currently lives, more than a month after he accepted it. "Right now, it's in my closet," the actor admitted to E! News' Aaron Lim Rhodes, pausing with a smile. "It's in my closet right now." Laughing, Rhodes suggested, "Can we bust that out and put it on a shelf?" Jordan agreed that he'd like to display the Oscar, but explained that he's tested out a few different locations already and has yet to find the perfect spot. "It's one of those things that, I don't know," he said. "You don't really know where to put it, you know? So it's kind of moved around to a bunch of different places." He then used his hands to gesture that the Oscar is no longer at the forefront of his mind, adding, "It's off. I'm focused on the next thing right now." The next thing in question is Jordan's take on the Thomas Crown Affair, a steamy heist thriller that sees him direct and star alongside Adria Arjona. Jordan recently teased the project at CinemaCon, unveiling the first footage of the film and opening up about his approach to directing the drama, a remake of the 1968 film starring Steve McQueen and Faye Dunaway. "He didn't just steal, he was making a statement," Jordan said, of the original film's titular thief. "I knew I wanted to bring that all together, the style, the sophistication, the rebellion, but also give him a real mission." But just because Jordan is already looking ahead, that doesn't mean he isn't still basking in joy of winning his first Oscar, a crowning achievement that brought the actor to tears at the awards show. "God is good, God is good. Yeah, Mama, what's up?" Jordan said from the Academy Awards stage. He went on to thank director-writer Ryan Coogler, his family, and fellow Sinners nominees Munmi Mosaku and Delroy Lindo before turning his attention to the people who came before me. "I stand here because of the people that came before me. Sidney Poitier, Denzel Washington, Halle Berry, Jamie Foxx, Forrest Whitaker, Will Smith," Jordan declared. "Thank you, everybody in this room and everybody at home, to support me over my career. I feel it. I know you guys want me to do well, and I want to do that because you guys bet on me." The night saw Jordan beat out frontrunner Timothy Chalamet for Marty Supreme, former winner Leonardo DiCaprio for One Battle After Another, Wagner Moura for The Secret Agent, and three-time acting nominee Ethan Hawke for Blue Moon. While Jordan is still working through where his Oscar should live, he had no trouble coming up with the first destination for his statuette. Like many winners before him, Jordan took the Academy Awards straight from the ceremony to an In-N-Out to celebrate his win with a burger. That was Michael B. Jordan reveals where he keeps his Oscar 1 month after winning Best Actor. And it was by Shania Russell. And now we're going to get to this list. I'm really looking forward to it. I think you know that by now. The 25 best time travel movies of all time. Take trips to other eras and get stuck in infinite loops. It's by Ruth Johnson and Kevin Jacobson. And before I get started, I'll just remind everybody that you are listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona. I'm reading from Entertainment Weekly's website, which is EW.com, and here are the 25 best time travel movies of all time. And this is going to be in alphabetical order. Humanity has a loaded relationship with time. There are moments we desperately wish to go back to the past and relive those glory days, just like some of us wish we could see a glimpse of the future to see how things will turn out for us. Time travel movies allow us to live vicariously through characters lucky enough to be granted this ability, giving them an unending appeal. Whether it involves reliving the same day, rewinding to decades past, or jumping forward to a later date, time travel movies aren't just limited to one thing. With sci-fi adventures like Back to the Future, rom-coms like Groundhog Day, and cerebral trips like Interstellar, making up some of the most favored examples of the subgenre. Indie comedy Nirvana the Band, the show, the movie, is among the latest films to play with time travel, so in its honor, we're looking back on the 25 best time travel movies of all time. The first is 13 Going on 30 from 2004. When a 13-year-old girl is crushed after being tricked at her own birthday party, she makes a wish to be 30, flirty, and thriving, quickly waking up the next day to find herself just that, in the body of her grown-up self, played by Jennifer Garner. Instead of traveling back to the past, a la the protagonist of 1986's Peggy Sue Got Married, Jenna, played by Garner and Christina B. Allen when 13, ends up in a potential future where she is all the things she wished for, but definitely not as happy as she thought she would be. The 2004 rom-com is a magical time travel tale. There's literally magic wishing dust, but that doesn't take away from the hilarity that comes with a 13-year-old trying to navigate an adult woman's life. Of course, in the end, Jenna learns her lesson. It's okay to just be young for a little bit longer, but the journey she goes on as she discovers not just herself, but also her true love, played by Mark Ruffalo, is worth all the silliness in the end. We can watch 13 Going on 30 on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Back to the Future trilogy, 1985, 1989, and 1990. While it's true that the first Back to the Future movie is probably one of the greatest time travel movies of all time, with its two sequels living in its shadows, all three are essential to understanding the character of Marty McFly, played by Michael J. Fox. The Back to the Future trilogy is an 80s version of a Bildungs roman about a teenager who has to learn that there's much more to life than being, well, a teenager. The first film, confidently directed by Robert Zemeckis, is imbued with so much humor and heart that it's all too easy to get sucked into a plot that should be convoluted, but that works so awfully well. Back to the Future 2 evokes a bit less feeling than the original, and it's significantly grittier, but it's still a blast, flinging Marty and Doc Brown, played by Christopher Lloyd, into a slightly prescient future version of 2015. Back to the Future 3, meanwhile, restores the heart, but its story is slighter as it wraps up Marty's saga, sending Doc off on a brand new adventure all of his own, back to the Old West. While the first Back to the Future movie is required viewing for any time travel enthusiast, stick around for the rest of the trilogy too. Even if this franchise's view of time travel is riddled with potential paradoxes, they are entertaining paradoxes nonetheless. We can watch the trilogy on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure from 1989. Be excellent to each other is the reigning philosophy of Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. The adventurous, fun-loving, stoner time travel comedy that spawned a franchise, including a third installment released in 2020. Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves absolutely triumph in the roles of lackadaisical teenagers Bill and Ted, respectively, as they journey through time to bring back legends in order to pass their history class. If the film seems silly, that's because it is meant to be. Whereas the Back to the Future franchise intended to craft a legend, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure kicks off the journey with George Carlin as the duo's time travel guide and mentor, Rufus, who intends to enlighten the pair on their mission and destiny. In any other film, the two budding legends, with their freewheeling ideals and misadventures, would bring down the fabric of time and space itself. However, Excellent Adventure is not a time travel film that forces you to think too hard about its premise. Instead, it invites you to just kick back and have a good time. We can watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure on Tubi. Donnie Darko from 2001. Set over the course of a chilly October, Donnie Darko follows the titular moody teen, played by Jake Gyllenhaal, who is informed by a mysterious figure in a rabbit costume that the world will end in 28 days. Donnie becomes increasingly disturbed by the entity, which begins influencing him to take drastic actions in his community, and it soon becomes clear that he must fix a glitch in time to prevent catastrophe. Entertainment Weekly's critic calls Donnie Darko an excitingly original indie vision with special praise for Richard Kelly's direction. He swings big with flair. We can watch Donnie Darko on Hulu. Edge of Tomorrow from 2014. Time loop movies need some incredible editing to really succeed, and Doug Liman's enthralling Edge of Tomorrow certainly does so on that point. While Tom Cruise is the lead as a cowardly lion turned near super soldier, all eyes are on Emily Blunt as Rita Vitasky, who rules this movie as one of the few heroes this dystopian post-alien invasion world actually has left. The quest Cruise and Blunt go on is a bit convoluted, but the storytelling is sharply cut, keeping up the pace even as we see similar things over and over and over again. A tip of the hat must, of course, go to the action, which is as compelling as you would expect from a megastar who seems determined these days to do all of his own stunts. We can watch Edge of Tomorrow on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Interstellar is from 2014. While this film might technically be considered more of a space opera than a time travel movie, there's no reason it can't be both. Christopher Nolan's Interstellar is a dazzling portrait not just of space travel, but of the love between a father and daughter that stretches over the thin fabric of both time and space. Matthew McConaughey, as the astronaut father, has never been so serious, but the acclaim needs to go to Jessica Chastain and Anne Hathaway as Nolan's strongest female characters to date. As a cinematic experience, Interstellar is all-encompassing, using every one of its outstanding special effects to draw viewers in before the script hits them with the emotional truth. While Nolan can certainly be considered cold and clinical, as Entertainment Weekly notes, his space-journeying meditation on the intersection between love and time is anything but. We can watch Interstellar on Paramount+. Kate and Leopold from 2001. Doesn't everyone want a Hugh Jackman from the 19th century to fall out of the sky and into their lives? Leopold, played by Jackman, is a foppish and geeky, if imperfect, gentleman who quickly has Kate, played by Meg Ryan, falling for him despite her modern understanding of the world. That so many time travel movies somehow end up in romantic territory is an interesting phenomenon, but one that does make sense. There's something appealing about falling for someone whose time is not your own. Kate and Leopold is fluffy and light, creating a paradox without even really acknowledging it. Someone looked at the Meg Ryan comedies of the 80s and 90s and asked, "But what if we made them science fiction?" It works in spite of itself, particularly due to Jackman's physical comedy as he plays a doll of a boyfriend, per Entertainment Weekly's review. We can watch Kate and Leopold on Amazon Prime Video to rent. La Jetée from 1962. La Jetée is arguably the most experimental of the films on this list, a French left-bank short film set in a post-nuclear apocalypse future told through narration and photographs. This is not the first time travel film by any means, but its impact on the time travel movies that came after, like 1995's 12 Monkeys, cannot be understated. A young prisoner, played by Davos Hennick, is forced to undergo torturous experiments to induce time travel via impactful memories. Unlike those who came before him, he succeeds and ends up discovering a time loop in the process. This is an incredibly stylish telling of what is now a familiar type of story, but in 1962, it was absolutely revolutionary. Honestly, because of its unique technical and visual elements, it still is. We can watch La Jetée on the Criterion channel. Looper from 2012 is next. Before Rian Johnson introduced us to Benoit Blanc, or journeyed to a galaxy far, far away, he made a tangled time travel film fittingly called Looper, starring Bruce Willis and Joseph Gordon-Levitt as a younger Bruce Willis. Looper tells the tale of a contract killer sent after his next target, himself. This is a complicated film and imperfect in a lot of ways, but its brutal appraisal of a possible dystopian future and the efforts one man takes to prevent that future are worth the amount of head-scratching you might find yourself doing throughout. That Johnson crafts his narratives to be impenetrable Gordian knots that only his designated protagonist can solve can perhaps be frustrating to the audience. But like most of his films, Looper also has a social conscience lurking within it. As Entertainment Weekly's critic writes, "It's time to wipe the drops from our eyes or else get stuck in a loop, an endless cycle, a rut," about Looper's core tenet. It's a worthy takeaway from a film consumed by the self-fulfilling prophecies we all eventually find ourselves within. We can watch Looper on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Meet the Robinsons is from 2007. Meet the Robinsons received mixed reviews when it first debuted, but of the 3D animated movies that came out of Disney Animation in the 2000s, it's probably the most imaginative and outstanding of the bunch. Following a young orphan as he goes on a fantastic voyage into the future with another young boy who is a time traveler, kind of, Robinson's is stylish to a point and is filled with heart. It's one of the more kid-friendly entries on this list, but its good-natured humor and complicated emotional palette should appeal to adults, too. It also fits neatly into a more classic genre of time travel, with time machines, eccentric inventors, and kids looking to make an impact, not just on their time, but on the time they find themselves in, be it in the near future or the distant past. We can watch Meet the Robinsons on Disney+. Mirai is from 2018. This lovely little gem, directed by Japanese animation visionary Mamoru Hosoda, tells the story of a little boy who unhappily gets a baby sister and ends up learning a lot of lessons about the past and the future. Kun, played by Moka Kamishirashi, gets a chance to meet not only the grown future version of his sister, Mirai, played by Haru Kuroki, but also members of his family at different points in their lives. Mirai is a delightfully imaginative film with some gorgeous animation that contains mind-boggling visuals, as Entertainment Weekly's critic writes. It's also a heartwarming tearjerker. While all ends well for Little Kun, the meditations this film offers on the nature of family bonds over the course of multiple generations might just leave you in a state of reflection on your own ties that bind. Many time travel movies tell their stories from the perspective of youth, but few unveil them through the eyes of a rambunctious preschooler. Gaining that perspective, in this case, allows for a truly precious journey. We can watch Mirai on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie, from 2025. It's a wonder that a movie like Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie even exists. Best friends Matt Johnson and Jay McCarroll first devised a web series called Nirvana, the band, the show in the late 2000s, on which they star as aspiring musicians trying and failing to play a show at a hip Canadian club. 17 years later, this gonzo mockumentary sees the pair still unsuccessful in their endeavors before they accidentally time travel back to 2008 and confront their younger selves. Making extensive use of archival footage and even copyrighted material, it's a modern-day miracle of human creativity. We can watch Nirvana, the band, the show, the movie on Amazon Prime Video to rent. Palm Springs was from 2020. Releasing a time loop movie during a global pandemic where life felt increasingly repetitive and bizarre was certainly a strategy for Hulu and Neon with Palm Springs, but it paid off. While the film was developed long before COVID-19, the scenario of two wedding guests trying to escape the situational loop they found themselves in definitely resonated at the time, and it still does. Palm Springs may seem serious from the above description, but it is actually a fun, sci-fi-tinged tale that is largely driven by the comedic skills of leads Andy Samberg and Kristen Milioti. Entertainment Weekly notes that the movie avoids true discomfort comedy, and honestly, it's all the better for it. If Palm Springs had been angrier, it wouldn't have hit home so hard, and it also wouldn't have been nearly as entertaining. Instead, it's an often sweet rom-com that doesn't take itself or its completely made-up time loop physics too seriously. We can watch Palm Springs on Hulu. Peggy Sue Got Married is from 1986. Peggy Sue Got Married might be one of Francis Ford Coppola's most small-scale movies, but it has just as much soul as his epics. Peggy Sue, played by Kathleen Turner in an Oscar-nominated performance, just wants to leave Charlie, played by Nicolas Cage, behind. But a time-traveling coma dream forces her to reconsider. It also encourages Charlie to become a better person, too. The film combines the cynicism of a rightfully embittered 80s housewife with the unbridled idealism of a 60s teenager to make one heck of a sincere cinematic concoction. That the film starts at a high school reunion could mean it becomes awkward very quickly, but it's completely joyful. Whether Peggy Sue Got Married started a tradition of person has some sort of crisis and subsequently ends up in another time movies is unclear, but it does have a rather clear decedent in 13 Going on 30, though that jumps ahead in time rather than back. We can watch Peggy Sue Got Married on Tubi. Run Lola Run is from 1998. This is, in many ways, the time loop movie. Debuting in 1998 to rave reviews, Run Lola Run, a German experimental thriller, is one you won't be able to shake. The protagonist, Lola, played by Franka Potente, in a punishingly physical performance that alone is worth the watch, is forced to relive a scenario again and again involving saving her boyfriend Manny, played by Moritz Bleibtreu, from certain death. We can watch Run Lola Run on Tubi. Safety Not Guaranteed. That's from 2012. Wanted. Somebody to go back in time with me. This is not a joke. I have only done this once before. Safety Not Guaranteed. This is part of the joke classified ad from which this movie was inspired. You might expect a more risky movie from the tone of the ad, but what you get is a light comedy that served as the first leading film role for Aubrey Plaza. This Colin Trevorrow-directed film isn't so much about time travel as it is about the cultural assumptions that surround the concept and those who think it might be possible. In that sense, it's a meta-commentary on nearly every time travel story that came before it. Redemption and the acts of salvaging something, anything, for the benefit of the future is a regular trope in the genre, and Safety Not Guaranteed manages to explore these ideas with a dash of irony and a splash of heart. We can watch Safety Not Guaranteed on Tubi. Somewhere in Time is from 1980. Somewhere in Time might employ one of the strangest methods of time travel of all the movies on this list, time travel by hypnosis. Science fiction great Richard Matheson adapted his own novel into a lackadaisical screenplay for this film starring Christopher Reeve in a perfectly tragic role as the young man who gives his all for a woman, played by Jane Seymour, he can never really have. In many ways, Somewhere in Time feels like a curio of the era from which it came, serving as a time capsule of how stories were told in the late 70s and early 80s. That's not a mark against it. It resonates as a tragic romance. And kudos must also go to Christopher Plummer as the young woman's cynical mentor, who seems to possess a certain foresight about the impossibility of Reeve's character. If you want a time travel movie that is indulgently romantic, from its swooning core to its grand cinematography, you shouldn't stray from Somewhere in Time. We can watch Somewhere in Time on Tubi. Source Code is next. That's from 2011. Hitchcockian in a sense, Source Code follows the misadventures of a U.S. Army pilot played by Jake Gyllenhaal as he attempts to stop a terrorist attack on a Chicago commuter train. Repeatedly. Source Code has something to say about the commodification of bodies and minds in service of the so-called greater good. While the actions of Gyllenhaal's Captain Stevens are no doubt helpful, the film is curious as to whether they're necessary. Is it really a good idea to force someone to relive an incredibly stressful idea over and over again? The movie has its funny moments, even in the thick of all the intense chase scenes through the train, as Entertainment Weekly noted back in 2012. The director finds moments of humor in unlikely corners of that train of fools. We can watch Source Code on Tubi. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home from 1986. If you know anything about Star Trek, you know the fourth film is The One with the Whales. But if you don't know anything about the franchise, you probably also know that this is The One with the Whales. Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, often gets its acclaim as the funny Star Trek movie, but it brings a lot more than just comedy. The original crew of the Enterprise flings itself back in time to save humpback whales in the past to save the future from a strange probe that threatens Earth, and will stop, but only if it hears some natural whale song. The crew finds themselves in 1986 San Francisco, and watching these characters from a literal utopia navigate a world not designed for them creates not only dynamic humor, but great tension as well. As they almost always do, the Enterprise team breaks all the rules to save the future as well as the whales. As Entertainment Weekly notes in a tribute to the film, it has heart and passion, save the whales, and a tremendous sense of fun. We can watch Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home on Paramount Plus. Star Trek First Contact is from 1996. Star Trek First Contact doesn't feel as much like a Star Trek movie as Voyage Home does, and Entertainment Weekly, in fact, says it harnesses a sleek, confident style fully independent of its predecessors. As a Trekkie, this may not be the most complimentary way of looking at it, but as a film fan, it might be the highest honor someone could bestow upon a movie within this franchise. Captain Jean-Luc Picard, played by Patrick Stewart, turns from a peace-loving diplomat to a Borg-slaying action star while the rest of his crew tries to get the inventor of the warp drive, the technology upon which the future relies, to stop drinking so much and actually invent the thing. James Cromwell, as the inventor Zefram Cochran, serves as the comedic relief for a remarkably serious and often scary film. The Borg, 90s Star Trek's biggest villain, are the main antagonists here, and they provide some chilling action. Stewart manages the transition from his mild-mannered diplomat to traumatized warrior well, turning in one of his most ferocious performances. Star Trek First Contact also gives us a look at a post-apocalyptic world in the midst of a recovery, and in that respect, it makes it both a thoughtful entry in the Trek canon and a time travel action thriller with a brain. We can watch Star Trek First Contact on Paramount Plus. The Terminator is from 1984 and Terminator 2, Judgment Day, 1991. What would a best time travel films list be without including a Terminator movie? Though the franchise has faced diminishing returns after James Cameron's first two installments, the misadventures of an evil cyborg turned good, played to physical perfection by Arnold Schwarzenegger, are always thrilling. Linda Hamilton is Sarah Connor, mother of the future savior, and much more, is also due an acknowledgement. Schwarzenegger's portrayal of the T-800 is iconic, but Hamilton is the heart of this franchise as she refuses to die or let her son face the same fate. The first two Terminator movies are so much more than scary robots take over the world and everybody dies. They're action-packed, bloody thrillers with startling narratives, pioneering visual effects, and, of course, time travel as the catalyst. We can watch The Terminator on HBO Max and Terminator 2 Judgment Day on Paramount Plus. The last item on our list is Time After Time from 1979. Nicholas Meyer is behind not one, but two brilliant time travel movies that made this list. In addition to writing the script for Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, he wrote and directed Time After Time. It follows two foes from the 19th century, H.G. Wells, played by Malcolm McDowell, unusually wide-eyed and adorable, and John Leslie Stevenson, a.k.a. Jack the Ripper. David Warner, never more menacing, yet charming, as they chase each other through 1979 San Francisco with the help of Wells's time machine. Time After Time doesn't spend too much time unpacking the science of time travel, and it's better for it. This is, in essence, a romantic thriller, as Wells falls for quirky bank clerk Amy, played by Mary Steenburgen, delightfully independent, while in search of his old friend turned enemy. It has chase scenes, interrogation sequences, gory murder, courtesy of Jack, and a delightful sense of humor as Wells learns to navigate the future. He thought it would be a utopia. Instead, he finds a world in sore need of his idealism, kindness, and dedication to justice. We can watch Time After Time on Amazon Prime Video to rent. That's the whole list. There were a bunch that were on Amazon Prime Video to rent, but sometimes I see them show up in other streaming services. And not on the list, which surprised me, was Groundhog Day, even though it was mentioned in the opening. At any rate, those were the 25 best time travel movies of all time. It was by Ruth Johnson and Kevin Jacobson, and I'm out of time for this episode. Thank you all for listening this week. I've been reading Entertainment Weekly, and I've been reading from their website, which is EW.com. I'm volunteer reader Diane Salisbury on Sun Sounds of Arizona. Thanks again. Please come back next week. Until then, goodbye.